This week I was in New York for a wedding of my brother's daughter, my niece, from Alaska. It's a beautiful wedding, and it was actually in Great Neck. And the Chabad in Great Neck was the wedding in Long Island. See, my brother, in 1991, he moved to Alaska to open a Chabad. 3 months later, after he moved in beginning of, I think in March of 1991. 3 months later, he shows up with a couple in their 60s. She's Jewish, and he came to convert. He wants to get go through a full Orthodox conversion. And he's all excited, a very happy person, and he talks to everybody. And before, and I was like shocked, my brother, 3 months, he's already found a couple who want to convert. And he told me, my brother told me that he's a big supporter, and he helped him to start his Chabad in Alaska, the first few steps. And they converted them, actually. The rabbis in Crown Heights in Brooklyn converted them, and he chose himself a Jewish name. His name was Erling Christensen, that was his name. And he changed his Hebrew, he got himself a Hebrew name. He called himself Yitro. You know, he learned in the Bible that Jethro was a convert. Maybe you can consider him the first convert. And he gave himself the name Yitro. 6 months later, he's back. They're back, the couple with my brother. What's now? He wanted to get a Jewish wedding, Jewish marriage. He had a good Jewish marriage. He got married by Jewish law. Everything was perfect. But you need to understand, in that time, to come from Alaska, even today, to fly from Alaska to New York for conversion, that's 6 months later, for a wedding, it wasn't simple. Not only I was impressed, everybody was impressed. This week, my brother, in honor of his daughter's wedding, printed a souvenir. And one of the things that was printed there is the experience, the connection between Chabad and the Jewish community in Alaska. And he writes there that the relationship between the Rebbe and the Jewish community in Alaska started already in 1970. You see, when the Rebbe came to America from Europe, a few years later, he set up the system of a Chabad Peace Corps to send out in the summer month two Chabad students, yeshiva students, rabbinical students, would go to remote communities where there is not a Jewish infrastructure, no Jewish establishment, and to look for Jews. They used to go to cities and communities, knock on doors, go to small synagogues, the forum temples, and just look for Jews and put on film with them, sell them some Jewish books, booklet that was in the 40s, was very few Jewish books in English. In 1970, the Rebbe's secretary, Rabbi Cholakov, walked out to the yeshiva students who were about to go to different places, and he told them, Chabad is going to Alaska for the first time. He chose two students and they sent them to Alaska in the summer. These two, when they came back, they wrote a whole report to the Rebbe, who they met. They visited Anchorage and they visited Fairbanks and Juneau. Then in Anchorage, one of the couples that they met was Mr. Christensen, Arlen Christensen, in 1970. He told the two yeshiva students, the two rabbinical students, that he was the rabbi, he was the president of the Reformed Temple in Alaska. And he learned about Judaism, his wife is Jewish, and he studied it, and he's real, and he wants the real thing, he wants Orthodox conversion. And he believes in it, and he was studying the Bible, he was studying Pirkei Avot, Ethics of Our Fathers, anything that he could put an end on. But the student told him, listen, to convert, you need a Beit Din, you need a Jewish code, you need three rabbis. We cannot do it. You have to come to New York or to another big Jewish community to do it. And they left, but he spent a lot of time with them. He was very helpful. When they came back, he sent a letter to the Rebbe to thank him for sending for sending the Jewish people, the yeshiva student, from Alaska, from New York, I'm sorry. The yeshiva student from New York. And the Rebbe was, and he writes to the Rebbe, words cannot express my feelings that I had when these two students came to spend time with us. I saw in them, they exemplified what the Torah is doing to a Jew. And I will continue to learn Torah, and eventually I will live a Torah life. That's what he writes. And he wrote, and he sent a copy of the letter to the two yeshiva students. And the yeshiva student went to the secretary, Rebbe secretary, and they showed him the letter, and they said, did the Rebbe got the letter? And he showed him the envelope, that the Rebbe got the letter, and the Rebbe circled the name Christensen, and he wrote in Hebrew, Jew, with a question mark. Who is this? Like, who is writing? Because in the letter, he didn't write that he's not Jewish and he's trying to convert. He just wrote a beautiful letter, how much he appreciated the two Chabad students. Since then, whenever Chabad, every few years, they sent the two yeshiva students to Alaska. Every time, Christensen used to meet them and help them and beg them, convert me, convert me. And they used to tell them the same answer. We cannot do it. You need a Beit Din. You need a Jewish court. You need to go to a big established community. If an Orthodox rabbi is to fall into town in Alaska from time to time, everybody gave him the same song. 20 years passed. My brother came. This Mr. Christensen was a whole Hasid. He jumped on my brother. We have to convert. My brother was a young rabbi. I told him, what do you want for my life? I never did it. I don't know. I cannot do it. In New York, they can do it for you. He says, with you, I'm going to New York. He called the rabbis in New York. They agreed to convert them. And he showed up in New York for the conversion. Then later, 6 months later, he came for the wedding. The rabbis in New York did a wedding. Then he went to the Rebbe for a blessing. And the Rebbe gave him a beautiful blessing. And welcomed them and thanked them for helping Chabad in Alaska. And then he asked the Rebbe, should he change his name from Christensen? And the Rebbe told him, yes, definitely. And he chose the name Ben Avraham, like Abraham's son. Instead of Christensen's son, Abraham's son. And he called himself, in the last name became, his first name was Itro, Jethro, last name of the son of Abraham, because every convert is really the son of Abraham. Then only this week I understood that it took 20 years, from 1970 to 1991, until this man who wanted to convert finally came and converted, and he went back to Alaska. And he grew a big beard, and he had a white beard. And every time when somebody used to walk into the Chabad house, to the synagogue in Alaska, many tourists come down. They used to come over to the rabbi. Who is the rabbi? The man with the long white beard. They came over to shake him, rabbi, to say hello to the rabbi. And he used to point them, you see this young man there with a little beard who is maybe 26 or 27? He's the rabbi, it's not me. And it was the joke of the community. Every week was the new people were surprised again and again. You see, this parsha, this week we begin a new book, the book of Leviticus. It's called in Hebrew Vayikra. The verse starts Vayikra el Moshe. He called to Moses, Vayidaber Hashem elav me'ol moed, and God spoke to him from the tent of the meeting. And it's a strange thing. He called to Moses and God spoke to Moses. It's written twice, superfluous. Why twice? Usually it's written in the Torah, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, God spoke to Moses. Here, he called Moses and he spoke to Moses. And Rashi says, The calling to Moses was not about speaking to him. It wasn't just, you know, like a human being. He called him on the phone and he spoke to him. What did he call to Moses and he spoke to him? Why twice? The calling to Moses, Rashi says, was an expression of endearment, of love. He called them, he loved them. How the Rashi knows that calling somebody by a cry is an expression of love, of endearment? He says, because we say it in the prayers. You know, everyone knows, we say it in the Kedusha. Bekara, zel, ze, ve'amar, kadosh, 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 right? That the angels, the prophet Isaiah tells us a vision that he saw, that the angels call each other and they say, kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy is God. And that's why we say it every time in the prayers, the repetition of the Amidah. And this is an expression of love. How you know that this is an expression of love? Because the angels call each other, that means it's an expression of endearment. How we know that's love? And the Rebbe said something very interesting. Angels do not have animosity. They are not jealous. They don't have competition. They're not competing with each other. Angels do not have a bad bone in themselves. Angels are spiritual beings who are completely godly. Then when angels call out to each other, must be an expression of love, because there is nothing else there. Then when the Torah is choosing an expression, how God called Moses, and they say, Vekara, Vayikra, he called them, using the same expression that it's used by the angels. And here it has no other meaning, because God, it's later written, and God spoke to Moses. What is Vayikra? Vayikra, the Torah wants to tell us that God called them an expression of love. Come, Moses, I love you. Vayikra. And why God called Moses? Why he showed him and gave him an expression of endearment? Because Moses represents the Jewish people. That's what the Rabbi said. Will we learn it? If you remember by the golden calf, when God told Moses the Jewish people had sinned in the golden calf, he was at Mount Sinai. God told them, go down. Rashi says, your whole specialty is because you represent the Jewish people. If I'm upset with the Jewish people, there is no place for you either. Here, God loves Moses because he loves the Jewish people they represent. That's what it's all about. An endearment to Moses, but he really means the Jewish people. This coming Wednesday, we are going to celebrate the 119th birthday of the Rebbe. And at the beginning of the 120 year from his birth, from the day he was born. Now, Kabbalah tells us that we celebrate birthdays if thereafter a person dies. It means he matures every year. His neshama matures every year, his soul. And when he matures, it means he gets elevated in heaven. This is true about every one of us. How much more a tzaddik, a rebbe, that his action, that his hand and feet, all the Chabad rabbis and all the Jews who is spreading out Judaism, every one of you, is doing it on his behalf, that is maturing. Then Rebbe's birthday is a very special day for Hasidim, for every Jew, for everybody in the world, because what the Rebbe represents is inspiration to every person to be a better person. And what's the Rebbe's secret? The Rebbe's secret is Vekara, Vayikra el Moshe, an endearment, an expression of endearment, of love. The Rebbe reached out to the Jewish world, to the world in general, with love. He sent out rabbis in 1970 to Alaska. They met a Jewish woman with a man who is not Jewish, but he wants to be Jewish, a couple. And every time we knew another couple of young rabbinical students came, they learned with them a little bit more Torah and a little bit more Torah. When my brother came and he brought him to New York for conversion, this guy was a complete rabbi by that time. He knew everything. He already quoted the Bible, the Talmud, the Pirkei Avot, everything. By that time, he was ready for conversion. It took 20 years. The Rebbe had patience. Everything takes time. And then and when, it, when it, 1970 was some successful businessman who told the boys, tell the Rebbe that I want, they should send a permanent rabbi to Alaska. And I will support him, I will help him. 1970, just to give you an idea what was going on, Rabbi Alevsky came to Cleveland in 1972. 1970, there were not enough Chabad rabbis to send one to Alaska. Alaska had to wait until 1990, until will come a chassid like my brother. Oh, some people say I'm a shugana like him, who was ready to go to Alaska. Even in Chabad in 1990, people ask him, are you crazy? You're going to Alaska? He went to Alaska. He built a beautiful Chabad house. And now he has his children walking with him. Some one of them walks with him in Chabad house. The other one opened a Chabad not far from him. And it's a thriving Jewish community. That's what it's all about. It's an expression of love, it's endearment. That's the Rebbe's secret. And that's the secret of every Jew. If you want to influence somebody else, you need to have patience, with love, and eventually the love wins everything. Thank you.